Amen. The Word of God says, let everything be done decently and in order.
And in order.
And in the house of the Lord. And that was completely in order this morning. The whole purpose of us being here is to have prayer with those who are in need. It's not about the preacher, it's not about the singers, but it's about lost souls. That's what God is interested in. What does it say in heaven? There is more rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth
than
all the rest of us. So it is certainly good to be here this morning. I'll restart reading. I have six places to read, and I will not read all those, but in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, starting in the 9th verse, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and in his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's our God. I wanted to talk this morning about how great our God is. The song says, then sings my soul, how great thou art. Have you ever experienced that in your worship?
Yeah.
Then sings my soul. There's nothing else to do, but your soul just worships God. That's a beautiful place to be in, isn't it? It doesn't have to be here, and often not. It isn't in church. It is by yourself when you're riding down the road, Brother Terry. When you're on your bed at night, when you're praying to God, the Creator. Did you all know y'all have a genetic footprint? You have 23 pairs of chromosomes, and in that one strand is how you're made. Your eye color, your shape, your athleticism, your propensity to get diseases. It's all there, and he created it. He created you just like you are, and guess what? He does not make a mistake. Danette, don't feel like God makes mistakes. You're not a mistake. So often people feel I'm not worthy and I don't count and I'm this and I'm that, but that's just the old devil speaking. But you're count. You're a wonderfully and you are marvelously and wonderfully made. 12th verse, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who? And meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. Who's done that? That's a question mark.
Right.
Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed to him the way of understanding? Do you know God can't learn?
What a great God.
He can't be taught. He knows everything. You can't teach God anything. We spend how many years going to school trying to learn? God just knows it. You know what else he knows? He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows the first word you spoke when you were born and got up a little bit in age. And he knows the last words you'll speak before you die. He knows the millisecond that you will pass. God knows. He knows what you intend to say tomorrow. He is the silent listener in every conversation. Every conversation you have had and will have, he knows everything you said. And did you know he'll bring every idle word into judgment? There's a song, it's an old song. There's a shelf behind the door. There is no shelf behind the door. I disagree with that. You can't hide from God. You can hide it from people. You can hide. God knows everything.
Right.
He created all that we see. We took a trip to the Grand Canyon this spring. And I stood there and I was just overwhelmed.
Right.
It was amazing. It was a bucket list thing. I wanted to see the Grand Canyon. God created that. He created you. That genetic footprint. Yes. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. How insignificant is that? And are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing in vanity. We have some strong, powerful nations in the country right now. To whom will you liken God? Question. Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth out a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and cast his silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. People have gods and idols everywhere, don't they? Isn't it sad? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. They stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind take them away as stubble.
That's our God.
To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over my God? You cannot hide from God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If you can hardly can do simple math today, if you can hardly read, if you can't go through life without taking care of yourself, you can be a sanctified person. This is not for the privileged and the wealthy only. Jesus came for everybody. If you feel inadequate today, and a lot of us do, feel like you don't measure up, don't feel that way no more. God is all powerful. He made you just like you are. Just like you are. And he wants to help you. He wants to save you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to help you with all your problems. That's our God.
That's our God.
I'll turn over into St. John. We'll have a good time in St. John, 4th chapter. Well, who is Jesus? We talked about God. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. A lot of people believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. their God is false if they don't believe in Jesus. Did y'all know that? Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is God. Make no mistake about it. You can read Genesis, and what does it say? Let us make man. He was there. But when he came to the earth, he was Jesus Christ. He was tempted at all points. All points. Just like his... Are you kidding me? He was tempted like you and me? That's hard to imagine. But he was. That's why he understands you. When you don't understand yourself. Isn't that amazing? After all these years serving the Lord, that still overwhelms me. How God was tempted at all points like we, yet without sin, and he understands me. But there was a woman in chapter 4 of St. John. He completely understood. Of all people, he shouldn't have even been talking to her. You talk about racial issues and things like that. Well, it was so back then. She was a Samaritan. Jesus knew exactly where she was. Not just physically, but he knew her past. He knew what motivated her. He created her. That genetic material, he knew all about her. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, he got tired. He was human, but he was divine. Sat thus on the well. He sat down, and it was about the sixth hour, about noontime. It's about noontime already. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And I'll move on down. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What a message. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast this living water. It's completely oblivious, misunderstanding what he was trying to say. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? I guess those are good questions. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith to her, go call thy husband. Go call thy husband. Tell him to come over here. Come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Listen to this. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that thou sayest truly. He knew all about her. He sat on the well. He knew she was coming. He knew when that lady was born. He knew all about the relationships she had had. That's our God. Are you hiding something from God today? Do you think God don't know about X, Y, and Z? The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Yeah, Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. He dropped some truth on this lady. Jesus saying to her, woman, believeth me that now the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know that we worship for salvation of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
That's it.
24th verse. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Heaven is a spiritual place. Heaven is a spirit. If you could travel, you would never find it physically. You'd never find heaven. You look for God with your physical eyes, you'll never find him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him. How? In spirit and in truth. Then the woman starts to get a little understanding. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest with her? The woman then left that water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they came out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said that his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him something to eat? Listen to this. Jesus saying to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Is this a message for us? Lift up your eyes. Don't wait 4 months. The fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You ever drove from Emporia to Norfolk on US 58 in late fall? And see the cotton fields. I have made that trip many, many times. It amazes me, the beauty of the cotton in the fields and how they pick it and how they get it. But if you will open up your spiritual eyes and look around you, there are people that need God. They are like fields that are white to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And I'll finish up here. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed, because not of his word, because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of the saying, for we have heard him ourselves, not just because you said it, but we have heard ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Amen.
Have y'all experienced the Savior of the world? If you haven't this morning, you can.
Amen.
You can. I had so many more places to read, but the message is you can't out-trick God. You can't out-think him. You can't hide from him.
Right.
You're just going to have to come to him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did he not say that? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. 2 weeks before camp meeting, this is a personal story. My youngest is a rising senior in high school, and there's because of COVID and everything, we've opened up our home to kids. And we have become very close with a lot of these kids, differing backgrounds, differing family situations. Just it's amazing the differences that you see coming in different situations. And 2 weeks before camp meeting, they were all there and they were in the driveway, and they come in one at a time. They want to talk to me and Shelley. That's what they do. And one of them came in, was talking, and then another one came in and stood there for a while. I was wondering what she wanted. And the other one left. And she said, "Mr. and Mrs. Merritt, I want you to know," and she had the biggest smile on her face, "I got something to tell you." And I didn't know what she was going to say. I want money, or I want a car, or what's she going to tell me? Big dimples, just smiling. She said, "I've started to read my Bible. The fields are white to harvest." And sometimes it's right under our nose. And do we take time to really see it and to act on it? How many of you ever had an opportunity and you didn't act and it was turned out to be too late and you had regrets? That's happened to me before. I didn't say something the timing is everything, is it not? When a child is 15, 16, 17 years old, that age is a lot different when they're 25, 26, 27, 28. A lot different. A lot happens between 15 and 25 in a person's life. That time is critical. It is so important that when we see an opportunity, we act. That young girl, when we get back from camp meet, is going to get a brand new Bible with her name on it. I think we should leave this place with that kind of attitude. Right. Our ministry might not be in these walls here.
Right.
It might not be. And at home, it might not be in those walls. It might not be at a feast meeting. But what about the sacrifice of taking time with a young person?
Amen.
Maybe have a Bible study with them. Talk to them. Love on them a little bit. Tell them that you care. Tell them Jesus loves them. Is that where it's at? Maybe so. We've tried a lot of ways to reach the lost, have we not? That is a challenge, isn't it? What would I tell a person that said, "I'm starting to read my Bible"? How would you react? Where would you go with that? Oh, here's the Bible. Go read it. Start in Genesis. Read the whole thing through. Would you say that? No, you wouldn't say that. I need to talk to him first, I think. Because he knows her better than I do. Right? He knows her intimately. He knows everything about her. And she came to me and said, "I'm starting to read my Bible." So what am I going to do with that? Is there somebody in your life that's like that? Who wants to know more about Jesus? We sung that this morning. But anyway, I'm so glad to be here with you today. If there's anybody, we can have another prayer. That's not a problem. If there's anybody that has a burden, has a need of God, Jesus, same, God and Jesus are the same. Who has that need, we're here for you. So let's everyone stand as we sing a closing song. Y'all come on up.